You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies lose to the Chicago Bulls. Man, that was a game, wasn't it? The Grizzlies go out and lose to a team that has only won 13 games in the entire year. And so we will talk about that. Also coming up on today's show, Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. He joins me for a conversation about some of the new guys and just kind of where the Grizzlies are going forward. Conversation before we start the All-Star break from him. So I appreciate him joining me. We'll do that in the next segment of this show. We're only going to have two. I'm going to talk real quick about this game and then get to Joe's conversation. It was a little longer than normal, so I don't want to keep the podcast entirely too long today. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about this Grizzlies-Bulls game that they lost. You know, the Grizzlies did look like a team that had played last night and gotten on a flight at 10:15 and flown to Chicago last night. It looked like a bunch of guys that were super tired. Mike Conley ends up playing, which I think is probably a mistake there. I understand that you want to play Mike, but he did not look good at all. He looked like he was sick. He looked like he was sick. He didn't look good at all. Didn't play well. He was 3-for-11 from the field, only 12 points. Just, I think you're better served not playing Mike there and playing playing DeLon Wright, starting him again. I didn't get that. Ivan Rabb got the start last night, but very quickly got the hook. Jonas Valanciunas came in about 8 minute mark or 8 and 9 minute mark last night. Same as the game before. You know, I understand that you're a team that that Chicago hasn't played, and you're a team that is on a back to back. I get that. I really do. But man, this Chicago team is such a bad team that it really shouldn't matter. Like, this Chicago team is just so bad. They are last in offensive rating, like dead last in offensive rating at 103.5. Last night, their offensive rating was 125. That's ridiculous. This is a Chicago Bulls team that struggles really to score the basketball. They're 28th in points per game at 103.2. You let them score 122. They let them score 122 points, and they only average 103 per game, almost dead last in the league. They have a terrible defensive rating. I mean, you're looking at guys on this team that really shouldn't be scoring the basketball. The Grizzlies let Robin Lopez, of all people, score 25 points on them. I mean, Robin Lopez averages 6 points a game for this Chicago Bulls team. The last time Robin Lopez scored 25 points, I looked it up for everybody just so you would know. The last time Robin Lopez scores 25 points was March 17th, 2017, 2 years ago. That's the last time Robin Lopez scored 25 points. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, there's no reason that Robin Lopez should be 10-for-15 from the field and scoring 25 points, even on a back-to-back. And that's the issue that probably I'd take most with it. I understand it, but it's just a bad team. It's just a bad team that you really have no business losing to, and it's an embarrassing loss. JB looked like he had no idea what he's doing again. He played literally every single person on their active roster last night. Every person that he could play, he played last night. He just looked like he was throwing darts out there. It looked like he was trying to figure something out because nothing was working. He couldn't get anything to work. The rotations we're going to have to go back to this conversation, I think, but the rotations were just strange. We haven't talked about that in a long, long time because there's been so much other things happening, and so that's probably taken our focus away from that. But the rotations have just been they were strange again last night. Jaren Jackson Jr. only plays 27 minutes. There's no reason Jaren Jackson Jr. should not be playing 30 to 35 minutes a night. I know that I said this earlier in the year and I complained about it. Like, there's literally no reason that Jaren Jackson Jr. shouldn't be playing 35 minutes a night. He's 19 years old. It's not like he's got a body that's going to break down. I mean, there's no reason for him to play 27 minutes. I just don't get it. I mean, the only reason that I would say that there could be, if there's a giant blowout, I mean, there's really no reason for him to be in a blowout, but at the same time, you could argue that there is very good reason just for him to get minutes in the NBA, even in blowouts. So, you know, you can make the argument that, there literally is never a reason. Blowouts or blowouts on either side, they'd never blow out a team like to win. But if they're getting blown out, he should be in there just for half minutes in the NBA. And you know, he needs reps. I mean, he's still a rookie. Like I know we talk about, like, he's supposed to be this next star, but he is still a rookie. He was 5 for 10 from the field, 12 points. You know, he only had 2 fouls. It's not like he was in foul trouble. You know, the main issue I take away from it is Avery Bradley came back to earth. He was 7 for 12. It was 15 points, and that's like average Avery Bradley. I mean, like 15 points is what he was scoring whenever he was like extremely good, like a really good basketball player. And so that is like top of the level what you're going to get. Even on a nightly basis, I don't think Avery Bradley scores 15 for this team. It'd be great if he does, but I don't think you ask for him to do that. I think you ask for him to get 10 points a game and make a couple threes, and I think that's where you probably land on Avery Bradley. Even last night, he probably played a little better than what you expect. He was 7 for 12. He was pretty efficient. So he wasn't like – he was not good relatively compared to the Spurs game, but he was still good relatively compared, like, just in this game, like, he'd taken, you know, with nothing around it. So, but that's kind of what you want from Avery Bradley, is about 10 points per game. So even getting 15, I think, is probably too much to ask of him, probably stepping a little bit out of his role for his point in this career. And Joe and I talk about this in the next segment, but you know, and if Avery Bradley somehow finds the way to be Avery Bradley from a couple of years ago, I think there's a conversation to be had there about what he could do for this team going forward if you want him on this team. So who knows if he's able to do that? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows at this point, because recent history shows that he hasn't. And maybe Doc Rivers did just use him completely wrong. I don't know. But he had 28 minutes and scored 15 points and was 1 for 2 from three. So, and 5 assists. So, I mean, there's a chance. That's all I'm saying is an outside shot, and it would be hella fun if he found the way to get back to it. You know, Jonas Valanciunas plays 22 minutes again last night. Is 6 for 14 from the field, 12 points, 5 assists, 7 rebounds. Had a good night. Shot too much though. I mean, there's no reason on this planet that Jonas Valanciunas and CJ Miles should have more shots than Mike Conley and Jaren Jackson Jr. Just not. I'm sorry. There's no reason for that. And I jokingly tweeted about this last night that someone should tell the new guys that Jaren Jackson's pretty good at basketball, and still seems that way. But you know, Jonas has got to be able to figure out his spot. I mean, Robin Lopez played like Jonas Valanciunas should play tonight. Robin Lopez scored around the bucket, really easy baskets, made himself available when people were driving. Like, those are the type of buckets that Jonas should be getting. I don't think there's any situation where the offense should be let Jonas Valanciunas go to work on the block. Not consistently. Yeah, every once in a while you want to give him that opportunity, but there's no consistent reason for that. I'm sorry, but I like Jonas. I was just on the podcast yesterday saying how much I like him, but that is outside of his role for this team. Same with CJ Miles. There's no reason CJ Miles to take 12 shots. I mean, he took 7 threes. He was 2 for 7 from three. I mean, that's kind of inflated because he took some late, so because they were trying to get back in it. So I'd probably say that the CJ Miles thing is probably less relevant to this game than the Jonas Valanciunas, because he was just chucking them at the end of the game, trying to do something. And so, like, that's whatever. I'm not too going to harp too big on that, because the stats are kind of skewed because they were down late. And they were trying to get back into it again. They started out great with Jaren on offense. He was getting, you know, the spots and the ball in the right spots, and then this kind of went away from him. I mean, same thing they did in past games when we were talking about this last time, before they were problematic with the Grizzlies, the finding him in the right spots, they would go to him early, and then they would never go back to him. And so I think you really have to find a way to continue to get him the ball, especially, you know, in the second half. I mean, even the second quarter. I mean, there's no reason that you can't run cross screens or play a better high-low with Jonas and Jaren, or run cross screens with CJ and Jaren to get him back. I mean, there's so much you can do to get him open that I think that they are not doing. So that's the one thing I look at this game and say that has to change. Like, you can't. I don't think whether you lose, whether he's having a bad game, I think you have to force the ball to Jaren. I mean, he is one of your best players now. That you have to force the ball to him. And if he's having a bad game, he just hopefully has to shoot through it, because I think he's still your best chance to win. Outside of those few players, there wasn't much there. Justin Holiday had 3 points. Ivan Rabb got the start, but only played 8 minutes. And the thing about Ivan Rabb, go back to giving him the minutes. You're just playing JB's just playing the rotations incorrectly. Jonas Valanciunas should start with Jaren Jackson Jr. You have a big center and a power forward. That's who you should start. And then you should be going back to Ivan Rabb off the bench like you were when he was playing well, when he was playing good minutes. That was his role. Right now, you have him outside of his role. He's not a starter in this league. He's not. He's not. As much as I like Ivan, he's not a starter in this league. That is not his ceiling. His ceiling is a role player, power forward in this league. That's what it is. And so I think that that's also a thing to do with Jaren as well early in the game, is that you're putting him as a center, and he's not a center. At least not right now. He might be in the future if he bulks up, but he's not a center in this league. Not this year, and maybe not even next year. And so that's also the problem with Jaren, is you're putting them both in the wrong situations. You're putting Ivan Rabb up against some gigantic guys. I mean, he has no chance trying to guard Robin Lopez. He has no chance trying to guard LaMarcus Aldridge. And so that's why you're seeing them going to Jonas Valanciunas very, very early on. And that is, yes, you're playing Ivan incorrectly again. Like, if you went back to what you were doing before, he could probably be successful. And so that is also the problem, is the coaching staff is not setting these guys up for success at all. So Ivan Rabb, again, only has 9 minutes. So I would like to see him go back to getting a few more minutes than just nine, because he's not playing well, because you're not putting him in the best position to play well. And so that's the issue, is that they see him not playing well, so they take him out of the game and don't play him again. Well, the reason he's not playing well is because you're not putting him in the position to succeed. He was 2 for 3 from the field with 4 points. So he wasn't bad when he was out there in the short amount of time he was there. He was just trying to play against guys that are way bigger than him and having trouble with it. And so I think you put him back in a situation where he's playing against other backup power forwards. That is a much, much better situation for Ivan Rabb. Again, outside of that, there wasn't much there. Joakim Noah, Javon Carter, Bruno Caboclo, 8 points. Javon Carter, 3 points. Joakim Noah, 8 points. Tyler Dorsey, 9 points. We did get our first look at Tyler Dorsey. He was 4 from 6, 1 from 3 from the field. I think there's a long way to go for Tyler Dorsey, but I think there's potential there. So I think it deserves, you have too many point guards on this team, but I think he probably deserves more minutes with the hustle, and we'll kind of see where it goes from there. But yeah, that's the game. The Grizzlies again lose to the Bulls 122-110. The Bulls now have 14 games. You're welcome, Knicks and other teams that are at the top of the tanking, because the Grizzlies did you a favor on a night when they should have won and should have inched one game closer to the ninth spot. They were unable to. Again, that is an embarrassing loss, and there's no other way to slice it. So coming up next, we're going to talk with Joe Mullinex, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. You'll hear our conversation right after the break. Welcome back to the Lockdown Grizzlies podcast. As always, every week, joining me, Joe Mullinex, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. What's going on, man?
I tell you what, it's Avery Bradley mania, right? Avery Bradley's going to save the Grizzlies. He's going to single-handedly save their season, Mark.
I tell you, I said it on the show today, or whatever, Tuesday, because Wednesday? I don't know what day it is. The last show we had, Avery Bradley is not ever going to do that again, probably, in the Grizzlies uniform. But damn it, if it wasn't fun to watch, though. I mean,
well, you got to see it live and in person.
I try not to get into, like, the whole, like, overreact to the moment thing, but it is fun to watch. And at the end of the day, that's kind of what you want if you're a fan. Just want to be entertained. And so it was definitely that. It was entertaining for sure. Let's start with Avery Bradley, since we're already talking about him. Your thoughts on Avery Bradley? I mean, he's not going to do that again. But I don't know if he can do something like that version, of a guy that was
a player from 4 years ago, do the Grizzlies think about trying to keep him? I don't know. Was that something that's even entered anybody's brain at the moment?
Well, I wrote it in the blog, on the blog today over at grizzlybearblues.com. Kind of my reintroduction to the blog after a few days off. Parker Fleming asked me to do 5 questions about the trade deadline since I was kind of MIA in the immediate aftermath of all that. So I did that, and the common theme in that post was, you know, the immediate hit future of the Grizzlies is dependent on whether or not this pick conveys this year. If they send the pick to Boston this year, then I don't necessarily see the harm in picking up the Avery Bradley option, because you're not going to be trying to be particularly good anyway. Hopefully you're trading away Mike Conley for a pick and a young player, that sort of thing. I would make that deal and keep Avery Bradley, let the contract expire, or let him be an expiring contract on a future trade, and use that contract as leverage in a potential trade trip. If you are in the boat where the pick doesn't convey, say you win the lottery, quote-unquote, and you get a top three pick, now you have Zion Williamson, you have Elgin Barrett, you have Ja Morant coming to Memphis, potentially, or Cam Reddish, somebody like that. Now, you are still trying to be as good as possible, and maybe you see better use of that money, so you opt out of the contract. I mean, so much of this has to do with the bouncing of the ping pong balls in a few months. In terms of actually being good at basketball, he's never going to do that again, and he's looked better as a Grizzly than he did as a Clipper at any point this season, maybe because of the way Doc Rivers is using him or whatever. Memphis does have a bit of a history of being a place where guys take advantage of new opportunities and new roles and second and even third chances. A few years ago, Avery Bradley was widely regarded as one of the best 3-and-D wings on the planet. If he could rediscover that, then he would obviously be a valuable player to keep around. He's not going to do what he did against Spurs ever again, but if he could be on average 70% of that player, I mean, there's value in that. And obviously, Avery Bradley showed what he is capable of doing in that Spurs game. Michael Green and Garrett Temple at this stage of their careers are not capable of doing that. So regardless of how you view that deal, in terms of players capable of going off like that, it's Avery Bradley with a bullet. So in that regard, it makes the deal worth it, at least on that small scale.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I probably get that. I think you're probably right. Like I said, I don't think he's ever gonna do that again. Even at his best, that's not really who he was. He's a high volume kind of guy. But you know, if like you said, he can somehow rekindle something, I think there is some value of having him on this team. And to what extent, I'm not sure yet. But only time will tell. Like I said, I also said this on the show today. I was at one point saying that Shelvin Mack was a great backup point guard. And I have to live with myself every day because of that, Joe. I just don't know. If, you know, so, I mean, you know, only time will really tell. We did get an extended look at the newest big man, Jonas Valanciunas, last night. And he is fun to talk to. He's fun to watch. But what do you think his long-term value is for this team? Do you think he could be a – is there a chance of him opting out, maybe taking some type of 3 or 4 year deal with the Grizzlies and actually being a part of this team long term?
Well, it's definitely an audition on both sides. I think Valanciunas is getting a feel for how the organization wants to operate, and if this is a place that he could see himself being a part of for the next few years. And obviously, on the Grizzlies side, they're trying to figure out if Valanciunas makes sense for playing out, say, you sign him to a 3-year contract, but the rest of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s rookie deal. Is he a worthy and willing partner alongside Jaren? I'm leaning to play a couple of games as a Grizzly now. The reason I like the partnership so much is because Valanciunas is what Mark was not. And on the Gary Pimmer show this week, I used the comparison of, it's like right after the breakup with a girl, you know, you want to go out and be with the exact opposite of that girl.
Yeah,
that's what Jonas Valanciunas is in terms of his physicality. He sets some of the most aggressive screens. He seeks contact. He's like a football player. He's looking for contact. He is aggressive on his rim runs, on pick and rolls. He is just a grizzly bear playing basketball. And he's fun to watch. And again, Marcus Gasol is one of the greatest players in the history of this team, so I'm not degrading what he meant to Memphis. But everybody kind of agrees at this point. It was at the point where they needed to move on from each other. And Valanciunas is fun to watch because he's so different from Mark. He has a different skill set. He utilizes his size in a different way. And I think that that marries nicely with Jaren because Jaren's not a dominant rebounder at this stage. Jaren isn't an overly physical player outside of the post in terms of those screens being set, in terms of the way that he can be aggressive on the glass. Jaren's not there yet. I feel like he can learn a good bit from Jonas in that way. So I kind of hope he opts in, to be honest with you. But even beyond that, if he does opt out, I'm pretty sure, again, it doesn't necessarily fit the rebuilding window. But if you want somebody that complements the skill set of Jaren and you're still hell-bent on having a traditional center type in the fold, you can do a lot worse than Valanciunas.
Well, I mean, you're still gonna have to have players, even if he opts out and he doesn't necessarily set the window of the rebuild or whatever that is. I mean, you still have to find players and you still have to have players. I would go crazy, and you can't go crazy if he opts out and you try to seek a longer term deal with him of the amount of money he wants. But I think if the money is right, you could definitely take a look at that. What do you think the best way, he talks a lot about Jaren and him playing together. If that's something they do, how do you envision, or what do you think the best way of them playing together is? I mean, how does that work for those two? Because like you said, he's definitely opposite of what Mark is. He's nowhere near as good of a passer as Mark or was for this team. It's just totally different.
No, he's a completely different player in that way. And I do think that makes players like Kyle Anderson, if and when he returns this season, with his shoulder injury, it makes a player like Kyle Anderson, DeLon Wright, those guys that can create off the dribble and be those facilitators on the perimeter, it makes them that much more important because you lose at the center position. Not to say that Valanciunas isn't a good passer, because I think he's shown the capacity to do it, but Mark is, he's a completely different level. He's a Jonas Ilgauskas, he's Sabonis, he's that type of passer as a big, even, prime Joakim Noah with a damn good offensive player in terms of passing basketball. But that's Marc Gasol, and Valanciunas isn't that. So you definitely lose one of those big type of facilitating players and playmakers. But, again, if you're putting them together, to me the biggest benefit is it alleviates the pressure on Jaren to rebound. It doesn't have to be Jaren as your primary glass cleaner. That's just not who he is right now. Hopefully, by the time he signs his second contract, 22, 23 years old, he has the physical ability and the physical depth to be more aggressive on the glass and not have to depend on somebody else to do that. But right now, he's just not physically capable. I think he also isn't, in terms of true post defense, he's not as bad as Ivan Rabb. I mean, Marcus Aldridge rips him apart. But it's not like there's a ton of ass to Jaren Jackson Jr. either. So it allows, it's almost like an enforcer role for Valanciunas. He can kind of be the muscle to the skill that is Jaren. And I think there's value in that, the kind of thunder and lightning concept that maybe you see in the NFL and in offensive backfields.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something they're going to have to work on for sure. Just playing those guys together, whether it's a high-low game or I said this in the show, you're going to have to be able to get Jaren open, and you have to, whether it's a cross screen through the lane or however that works out offensively, the scheme for these two, you can't play them together and just ignore Jaren out there on offense. Your guy, DeLon Wright, you're a huge DeLon Wright stan.
He
wasn't great yesterday. Passed the ball really well. He still got very good vision. Didn't score the ball very well. And I said this, that he really, for him to be effective, he has to find a way to be at least an offensive threat. I mean, that's not have to score every night, but he at least has to present that option to other teams and to the Grizzlies themselves. So now as we record, that's the playing the Bulls. He's playing a little better tonight. That's 10 points. But what do you see DeLon Wright long term? How does he fit with this team?
To me, he fits as whatever you need him to be, whether it's as a starter on the wing, whether it's as a sixth man, because a common misconception is he is a true backup point guard. I think he is not truly a backup point guard. He has played more minutes at the two this season, obviously mostly with Toronto, than he did at the point. So to me, he fits wherever you need him to be. I like him as a starter because I think his skill set is more versatile than Dylan Brooks. I think Dylan Brooks is your, you know, 3-and-D perimeter player that can shoot the basketball really well but can't really create off the dribble. Meanwhile, DeLon Wright is somebody who can create off the dribble, can facilitate, can make life a little bit easier on Mike Conley in terms of that facilitation process. You're exactly right that he has to be a consistent scorer because with Mike Conley, you know, he'll come back from the All-Star break. Obviously, he's just sitting out due to illness. He should be fine long term. You got Chandler Parsons coming back. That'll probably be 15 to 20 minutes off the bench. You know, DeLon Wright, he's going to get minutes because they're trying to figure out what the hell they have in this kid. And I use kid loosely. He's older than Valanciunas. But he's somebody that obviously was a key piece of that trade. He is able to dribble, which not a ton of the Grizzlies are able to do that consistently. So shout out to Matt Hudlicka, and I believe you say it as well, Mark. You want guys that can dribble the basketball, and Wright is capable of doing that. Yes. So he is a malleable player who fits with a lot of different styles. I liken him to Kyle Anderson because Kyle's in a similar boat. You know, depending on matchups, Wright can play any position, and he can create off the dribble. And when he's on, and you could say that about most players, but he has a three-point stroke, and he has shown the capacity to do that on a consistent basis, but he hasn't done it consistently enough for long enough stretches. So that's the major critique of his, and if he's hoping for a nice little extension with Memphis or for anybody to offer him a nice little extension as a restricted free agent, he's going to have to prove that he can be, whether it's as a reserve or as a starter, a consistent scorer for whatever team he's playing for.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I think his value is in this league, his value, his best value is as a backup wing, whether that's a point guard or a shooting guard or whatever, you know, a backup wing, I think is his value in this league for the Grizzlies. Last thing, and I'll get you out of here. Ivan Rabb did not play well last night, but just not a matchup that was really great for him at all against the Spurs with LaMarcus Aldridge. He just really got pushed around. Has been really pushed around by Robin Lopez tonight against the Bulls. Is Rabb? I'm of the mind Rabb's better served coming off the bench. I think his ceiling is a role player in this league. I don't think he's ever going to be a starter. Do you think his value is better served, or the Grizzlies are better served bringing him off the bench with Valanciunas starting?
Yes, and I think that's eventually going to happen. I think they're doing right by Ivan Rabb in terms of the work that he's put in, giving him the opportunity to show that he can start. But, you know, I coach on a much smaller scale. I'm a high school football coach, and sometimes you give a player or you throw a player a bone kind of thinking you know how it's going to play out. That's what this looks like to me. You know, this is J.B. Bickerstaff saying we're going to reward Adam. He's done a tremendous job for us. He's worked his tail off, played in the G League. His game's coming along so well. Kind of knowing that Valanciunas would need a couple of games to get in the game shape and understanding that the immigration process and coming back with a hand injury. There are lots of reasons to be able to say, you know, we're going to give Ivan an opportunity, knowing that it may not work out, knowing that Valanciunas, even in his lesser state, would show his physicality, would show his ability to get to the basket. And he figured it would kind of take care of itself. After watching them play the past couple of games, I don't know who would argue for Ivan Rabb over Valanciunas at this stage. I think 13 minutes a night, roughly, playing against reserve bigs, Ivan Rabb has a role in this league doing that. I think he's shown enough to be that type of player. But long term, I agree with you. I don't think he's a starter, at least not on a team that's purposely trying to compete like Memphis is right now.
They are trying to compete. They are trying to convey the pick. So we will see if that happens. The Grizzlies are trying to lose the game against the Bulls right now. They're doing everything they can, but so a little bit of time left. Again, Joe Malone, excitement manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, man. Thanks for joining me. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Have a good one.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Thanks again to Joe Mullins for joining me. I appreciate that. So we're now basically officially into All-Star break. We have the Rising Stars or World Show, whatever it is, now coming up on Friday. Skills Challenge on Saturday. Mike Conley and Jaren Jackson are in both of those. So we will obviously do a show the rest of this week. I'm not entirely sure what we're going to do next week about the show since they won't play again until Friday. They play the Clippers at home next Friday on February 22nd. So still kind of play with it. I'll probably take a few days off next week, maybe Monday and Tuesday. So, and then we'll get back to it. But again, make sure you're subscribed to iTunes. Make sure you find us on iTunes, subscribe. Make sure you, if you have a chance, if you have time, please go rate and review the podcast in iTunes. It really helps us with the rankings over there and trying to get higher in those rankings, get more listeners. So I'd appreciate it if you have time to do that. If you're not on iTunes, you can find us on Stitcher or literally wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to be a featured sponsor on this very show, make sure you just email me, lockedongrizz@gmail.com. We have a very, very large audience now. We're growing every day, so I appreciate the email. I think we can be a great avenue for your business to sponsor and get the word out about your business. So email me, lockedongrizz@gmail.com. Again, if you're unsure where to get your podcast, just go to lockedongrizzlies.com.